For those of you who are joining for the first time today, I want to welcome you. And today we celebrate a 10th year anniversary. I don't know whether that means anything to you, but special day for all of us who's been here for 10 years. And God has been really faithful to this church for the last 10 years. And I just want to praise Him, okay? And I really do want to praise Him. And at a very appropriate time, I think, God moved us to Hicksville, and we could have this new beginning here in Hicksville. And I don't know about you, but I'm very, very excited to be here. Can I see some exciting faces? Some of you looks excited, some of you don't. Anybody excited about that? Can I ask you? Yeah. Very reluctant. Yeah. May the things of God excite you. I think that's what it means to be born of God. That's an expression straight from the scripture. Are you born of God? What does that mean, right? What does that mean? This is a key phrase, born of God. Okay. You know, this whole illustration about birth is just breathtaking, if you think about it. The miracle and complexity of birth. You have a baby, you know, with a father back there. Do you even know how baby was formed? Other than what you learn in biology class? You know? The thing about birth is, you have no part in it. How many of you thought, okay, I'm going to be born in Flushing, okay, Flushing Hospital, 1991. I have decided to be born in 1991. Is that how you were born? How many of you, I'm going to pick that guy as my father and that lady as my mother. And this time, in this place, I'm going to be born. Anybody? How many of you, now I'm going to be in this shape, with this color of eyes, with this kind of intelligence, I'm going to be born. You planned that? It's ridiculous, right? We had no part whatsoever. I think that is why this illustration of birth is so, so insightful. And the title of the message for today as we begin this John's Gospel is Born of God. And I want to just give a little bit of introduction about John's Gospel. Through this Gospel, I was born again in college. Are you born again? I'm just asking. Do you even know what that means? Okay. What are some signs of being born again with life? There are signs. There are clear signs. Christianity is not rituals, people. It isn't. Okay? And I think we could be easily swayed and deceived and misinformed. But Scripture makes it very clear, Christianity is about life. Life. Okay? And are you born of God? And if not, what are you then? We're going to talk about things like that today. Okay? So, we'll be spending maybe 6 months to 9 months from last Sunday to whenever, Lord allows. And we're going to be spending time with this magnificent Gospel of John. And Gospel of John is different than other Gospels. Those of you who are not used to the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke is called Synoptic Gospel. Syn, which means together, right? They look similar. It records similar incidences and similar teaching. Written around similar time. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Eyewitnesses. But John's Gospel is different. Even in just kind of like quick reading, it feels different. Because it is meant to be different. Okay? And I shared this last Sunday. This was written 30 years after the Synoptic Gospels. What is that got to do with us? It has a lot to do because three Gospels were written around, let's say, 60, about 30 years after Jesus was ascended. Okay, historical Jesus. People, Jesus is a historical person. Some of you are born in 90s. Some of you are born in 2000. Anybody after 2010? Oh, Podre just kind of like looks at me. Yeah, I lost count, but it's amazing, right? Historically, you were born. And Jesus is a historical person who was born in the flesh and actually died. It's documented, probably more well-documented than your ancestors. Do you have any documentation about your ancestors? Not really, right? There are a greater amount of documentation about Jesus than Julius Caesar. Okay, it's just true. It's a real historical figure who came. And who is he? What about his claims? If he is who the scripture claims he is, you better be accountable. You better have an interpretation of that. You must have an understanding about that. You can't just say, oh, I don't have anything to do with him. Yes, you do. Because Bible says you will be standing before him. I'm not going to. Yes, you are. Okay? You could think whatever you think, but the scripture clearly states that you will be accountable. Okay? So, John's gospel is different, written about 30 years later by eyewitness name, an apostle named John, John the Apostle. Around 30 years later, which means Christianity just kind of started in Palestine region, and it becomes Roman Empire religion. It just spreads like a bonfire from Palestine north to Asia Minor, to Greece, and to entire Greece and Roman Empire, and all the way to Rome, all the way to Spain. It's a significant thing. So John, who is an eyewitness, not only just he knew Jesus, he spent 3 years, 24/7, right? Spent Jesus, taught by Jesus, saw the miracle of Jesus, and even he was in the bosom of Jesus, right? Eyewitnessness. There is not that many documents, ancient documents like that. But Bible is a document that has been documented by eyewitnesses. And there are more manuscripts of Bible than any other ancient manuscripts. By far, right? We have tens of thousands of manuscripts and they match and they're same. Now you figure that out with your rational mind. What does that mean? Somehow God preserved the truth and the Bible so that you may believe. Why? Because by believing, you may have life. Which implies that if you don't believe, what does that mean? You do not have life. Okay? So, let me begin. The purpose of this book, John's Gospel, which is a magnificent gospel, because it is very, we just came out of study of Romans, and this was heavily doctrinal. So many people enjoyed it, and I do believe even set the foundation of this church and to many of you. But if you read John's gospel, it is just as theological and philosophical. Can you believe that? And it is filled with so many great narratives, great stories. It's hard to believe. It really is. So good that someone by the name of Martin Luther, some of you know him, some of you know, who's Martin, right? Martin Luther said, for some reason there is a disaster and all the books of this world and the Bible is burned, except Romans and John, the Christianity will survive. Okay, that's how big it is. I don't think he's just saying this just to catch your attention. He was the scholar of the scholars. He's the one who started the Reformation in 16th century. And he's saying that if Romans and John's gospel survive, the Christianity will survive. If you understand Romans and if you understand John, Christianity will survive in you. Okay? So, the purpose of this book. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Meaning, there are so much more to write about. In fact, if I were to write everything, even the whole world will not have enough space, John writes. But these may be written. In other words, John's gospel is written so that you may believe. Do you believe? No, really, do you believe? Yeah, I kind of know. Doesn't mean you believe. Okay? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God. He's God. And that by believing, you may have life. Okay? I want to ask you, do you believe? Would you focus here, please? But seriously, I want to ask you, do you believe? If you believe, you have life. If you don't, you do not have life, Bible says. In other words, you are, according to Scripture, you're like a zombie. You just walk around, but you're not alive. Wow, that's very harsh way of putting things, isn't it? But until you know true condition of yourself, you are not even going to seek help from a doctor. True condition of yourself. Bible says you are standing condemned. That's why he came. I shared this with you last Sunday. Why was John's gospel written? Because for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. He loves you. When was the last time somebody said, I love you? When was the last time? Someone say, I love you to you? You may have a very expressive mom, and she always says, I love you, right? But chances, if you're Asian, you don't. When was the last time? To the truest part of your soul, someone say, I love you. Right? For God so loved the world, this is written so that you may believe. So that by believing, you may have life. Okay? That's why it is written. Did I do that? Or you did that? Okay, why did you do that? Oh, that's Jonah. Send him back to California, right? I've been studying John's gospel. This is my probably third or fourth time expositing this entire book in my career. But last 2 weeks, I've been studying, reading John's gospel. And this is the kind of conclusion I come to, if you could just listen to this. If this is true, it is completely unconscionable for me not to preach Christ. Did you hear me? If this is true, it's completely just not even imaginable, unconscionable for me to not to preach Christ. Because 1 through 18 is like the prologue of this book, as opposed to the epilogue. This is like the prologue. And it is, someone described it as the grand entry way to John's breathtaking account of the gospel of Jesus. It's the grand entry, verse 1 through 18. I read this in one of the commentaries that I was reading. There was a course on Gospel of John for 18 weeks. Okay, 18 weeks. And it's a 21 chapter book. So you figure this out. You kind of like evenly need to distribute 18 weeks to study 21 chapters. But ended up, this professor spending 13 weeks out of 18 weeks with 18 verses. He's a bad professor, right? That's how much there is. That's how much there is. And particularly the first verse, after 30 years of seeing Christianity rising in history, as an eyewitness of Jesus' life, historical life, bodily death and bodily resurrection. John writes, chapter 1, verse 1. And this is the grandest statement anybody could write in history. Okay? And it writes, in the beginning was the Word. Not is the Word. In other words, before the beginning. before the creation, before there is any matter or energy, there is anything created, any life, there was the Word. Now, it's so philosophical and so grand. You know why? Because obviously John is reminiscing. It's just writing just like the book of Genesis. And the Jewish leaders would hear right away in the beginning, Anarche, right? Anarche, in the beginning. People hear that this is just like the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis speaks about what happens after the beginning. But this verse speaks about what happens before the beginning. Do you get it? In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. It's talking about what happens afterward. Right? But this verse, in the beginning, was the Word. Pre-creation, pre-existence of the person of God. And he was titled the Word. Was there, can I just ask you, what was your beginning? Where was your beginning? Where's your end? Where are you from? What do you mean? You know, people always ask me, right? Although I lived in this country 45 years, people are like, where are you from? I'm from Flushing. That's not where I'm from, right? Where's your destiny? Where are you going? Where is your origin? Where is your beginning? Where is the origin of life? Beginning and the end? Can I ask you? What about everything in between? What do you live for? What is the purpose of your life? Why do you study? Why do you make money? What's the purpose of life? I don't know. Can I just ask one more thing? What is right and what is wrong? How do you even know? Right? You know, this one verse really is the continental divide, if you think about it. In the beginning, before the beginning, pre-existent person of God, and he created. And in verse 14, he came. That's the distinguishing fact about Christianity, people, from all the others. I don't even want to categorize with, you know, religion, whatever. Is different than Christianity. Christianity, this pre-existent life, origin of life, creator, came as a human being. Let me just pause, okay? Because if that doesn't shock you, if that does not grip your attention, you're not listening. You're just not listening. If that is not gripping your attention, right? But isn't that what it says? In the beginning was the Word. So he's the pre-existent eternal, which means because he was pre-existent to the creation, he's eternal. Okay? And the second phrase is just as big. And the Word was with God. Which means the Word is not the God here, God the Father. He's a distinctive person. Two persons before the creation, coexistence, pre-existence, coexistence of the Word. And then the conclusion of everything, and this is what John is concluding, and for you to read for the rest of the gospel, and the Word was God. Amazing, if you think about it. Okay? What about your studies? What about your marriage? What about your children? What about your career? Let me just go a little bit further. What about your sickness? What about your... Eventually, you're going to lose your parents. You lose your grandparents. This week, I was thinking, one of our members of a church has a cancer. And she's not that old. In her 60s. And she's going through chemotherapy right now. And she's in the city. And I just think about how lonely she would be. Just think about it, people. She has a family here and husband in Korea. And she was a very faithful member for a while. And she's going through cancer, chemotherapy. And he says, "Oh, that hurts. Oh, we could do that, right?" But I was, for some reason, this weekend, last week, I was thinking about it. And imagine how lonely that would be. You have a lot of friends, don't you? Birthday party, 20 people come out and have lot laughter. Wonder what it would be like when you actually go through that time. I could promise you, people could come and try to console you. People could come and try to comfort you and strengthen you, all of that. But at the end, it's going to be you alone at the end. I promise you. It's going to be you, okay? It's something that you cannot go around it. I hope we could go around it, you know, from health to heaven. How do you like that? I would love that, right? From now to heaven. That would be great. But it really doesn't work like that, does it? Like, I mean, some of you have gone through it already. Your father, your grandparents, or your parents, or your spouse, you have already seen that, and you know it's not that simple. But that's the reality. And it's something that you cannot go around it, can you? You can never go around it. And I'm thinking about, wow, you know, that's got to be a lonely, lonely month and years, going through chemotherapy, losing hair, losing weight, losing appetite, losing desire to see people. Do you even know what it feels like when you are under, when you're like, your immune system is low and your heart is kind of like down? And you get up, you rest and you get up, you don't feel like you rested. Do you even know what that feels like? Let me ask you, people. What is your beginning? What is your destiny? What is the purpose of your studying? What is right and wrong, right? These are the biggest questions in life. And Jesus answers that. I know where I'm from. I know where I'm going. I know where I am heading toward to. The origin of life, destiny of life, purpose of life. And what is the morality? What is right and wrong of life? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me just explain something. Atheistic view, okay? This is Christianity, and this is the theistic view. Now, atheist view, I don't know whether there is any atheist here. Maybe there is. Okay, let me ask you, what is the origin of life for atheists? Do you know? They say matter and energy existed before life. That takes a lot of faith. And that's totally not scientific. Is it scientific? Can it be repeated? Can we recollect the data of that? Absolutely not. Okay, youth group, are you listening? That's where the science begins. Where did everything begin? What is the origin of life? Matter and energy existed before life. And somehow it created life. That takes a great faith, doesn't it? That's a theory that cannot be repeated. Therefore, it is not scientific, nor repeatable. It isn't. Okay? But I know you people have a rational mind. Now, when there is no life but matter and energy, in other words, matter, dust, I don't know, you know, matter and energy, which means there is no intelligence, there is no vision, there is no plan, there is no purpose, there is no life, there is no truth, and there is no love, and there is no destiny. Nothing. Nothing created life. Does that make sense? Is that rational to you? And let me just go, just continue with the atheistic view. Somehow amoeba was created. Amoeba, okay, one cell, right? No beginning, no end, one cell. And it evolved to you. It only took millions of years, but that's where you're from, amoeba. Oh, that gives me a lot of confidence in me, dignity in me, right? Does it? How did it happen? We know there are microevolution that cannot be kind of detected, mutations and things like that. Yes, we see that, but there is no macroevolution that ever happened. It's just a theory that cannot be repeated, that cannot be proven, but we believe it. You know, it takes faith to be an evolutionist, and it takes faith to believe in creation. The difference is, there is no life, there is no intelligence, no design, no purpose, no truth, there's no destiny, no nothing, and you live from amoeba to life, and you die, and what happens afterward? You're nothing. Again, you're nothing. Can I ask you, if you believe in that, does that give you any hope? Does that give you any deep satisfaction in you? Man, I know I'm going to nothing. So let me live. Okay? That's the origin of life, and that's the destiny of life. So what is the purpose of life then? And another question I was asking some of the young adults this weekend was, then what is right and what is wrong? It's completely up for you to grab. Completely. You know, people just step on other people. And if you look at the history of a human being, human beings are incredible. We kill not just one person. We genocide people. We human beings do not hesitate to kill entire tribe. You know, I thought it was just the Jews over the course of history. That's not true. During the World War II, 200,000 Polish people were killed by Germans in 2 months. 200,000. And in China, more than 300,000 people by Japanese people. Chinese people just completely wiped out. Now just think with me. Does that sound like very sophisticated, you know, hopeful living thing? It doesn't, does it? But the opposite view is, before anything was created, there was any matter, there was any energy, there is a person with life. And that person came to give you life. That's what the scripture is teaching. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning. Verse 4, in Him was life. And the next verse says, the life was the light. Did you guys notice that we changed the color? Some of the slow people, what happened? Yeah, light. You know, there are two distinctive kind of characters of light. When there is light, what happens? You come into this place is in darkness, you flip the switch, light, and what happens? You begin to see. It gives you ability to see. In other words, without the life of Jesus, you do not see. What do you call the people who has the inability to see? Blind people. Okay. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. So you don't see. You don't see the destiny. You don't see the purpose. You don't see the morality. You don't see the beginning. You see nothing. Whatever your heart desires, your sinful heart desires. That's what the scripture says. From that kind of slavery and chaos, God came to rescue you, people. God came to rescue you. Why the Word? That's a big question. Hologos, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What about the Word? Why did John conclude it and use that term, Word? Okay? In the book of Revelations, Jesus returns. That's in the future, but we already see it in the scripture as if it has happened. You know, Christianity is amazing because we know the end already. How many of you knew that? Could you say amen? It's like a soccer game. Okay, United States versus Spain. Okay, we're losing 2-0. You have nothing to worry about because we already know the score. We win 4-2. So, nobody get it? Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. We already know the end. But we panic and we worry. We're anxious. You know why? Because you don't know the end, you don't understand, you don't believe in the end. But Scripture tells about the end. Christ returns, okay? And Christ will judge all nations, which includes you and I. Every single thing will be exposed. Every hidden thing will be exposed. Oh, that will be a magnificent day, wouldn't it? And in Revelation chapter 19, I'll show you later, Jesus returns, right? And he's riding a horse, white horse. And the old nations were before him. And his name is the Word of God. Word of God, the Word, is not something written on the pages, dead pages. It's the person. It's the person. It's not a small person. It is that person that we're talking about. John 1 talks about the ultimate, absolute, true reality of all. That person is the Word of God, Jesus. And John is saying that Jesus is that ultimate, absolute, true reality of all before anything was created. In other words, if you don't know him, you don't know anything. That's what the Scripture is claiming to you. And then when he speaks, the sword comes out. Ephesians chapter 6, that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, his speaking spoken word and his person of the Word intertwined, so unified, basically he is the Word. He is the truth. So it's not just what is written, what he said. It's much more than that. And John Piper explains it so well, okay? John Piper, why the Word? John calls Jesus the Word because he had come to see that Word of Jesus as the truth of God and the person of Jesus as the truth of God in a such a unified way that Jesus himself, in his coming, in his working, in his teaching, in his dying, in his rising, was the final and decisive message of God. Well, put it more simply, what God had to say to us was not only or mainly what Jesus said, but who Jesus was and what he did. His words clarified himself and his work, but his self and his work were the main truth that God was revealing. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. Okay? As John begins his gospel, which is right now, he saw in view all the revelations, all the truth, all the witness, all the glory, all the light, all the words coming out of Jesus in his living and teaching and dying and rising, as he sums up all the revelation of God with the name, he is the Word. It's he, people. He is the first and final, ultimate, decisive, absolutely true, reliable Word. That's his conclusion. And in Hebrews chapter 1, in the past, God has spoken through the prophets, but in the last days, God speaks through his Son, the Word of God. That's a huge statement, okay? And today, I want to introduce, are you born of God? Are you born of him? If not, you do not have life. If you do, you have life. Can I just ask you? When someone is born of me, what does that mean? That person becomes my child, and I am that person's father. Okay? And the chance is, if that person is born of me, when he grows up, he's going to look like me, father. Does that make sense? When you're born of God, that means you are a child of God. Those who believe, those who receive him, who believes in his name, God has given the right to become the children of God. And what's going to happen as you grow, as you get older? You will become like who you were born of, your father. Isn't that what sanctification is? Right? So there is that correlation. There is that congruity between John's gospel and Romans' gospel. You're born of God. God is your father, and you're going to become more and more like him. That's Christianity, and that's the gospel. And I'm just sharing this with you because some of you are, and maybe some of you aren't yet. But I'm really thankful that you're sitting here. You know, John's gospel is magnificent because it begins like this, in a, such a magnificent, grand way, and then he meets real people one person at a time. How do you like that? Who did he meet? John chapter 3, Nicodemus. John chapter 4, a woman who's been married and divorced 5 times. How do you like that? Nicodemus was the elite of the elites. He was the leader of the Congress. Okay? He's the representative of like Congress. And the next chapter, nobody. Someone like Samaritan. During the time, they consider Samaritan as a subhuman, basically. Outcast. Like a dog, literally. I'm sorry, but like a dog. And they go back to back. Nicodemus to woman at the well, who's been married for 5 times and divorced. I don't know what category you fall into. Okay, maybe you are like Nicodemus. Maybe you feel like you are woman at the well, Samaritan. I don't know what you may feel like right now. You feel so dirty. Shameful. Or you may be, hey, I'm on the top of the world. I don't know where you are. But let me just tell you something. God came to seek you and give you life. And he does, people. Do you feel dirty? So many people feel dirty, shameful. But that ultimate reality shed the blood for you to be clean. For you to be clean, people. Okay? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Now, verse 9, the true light. Jesus is the true light. There are a lot of false lights. Oh, I forgot to talk about this paint. Yeah. When we painted, surprise, there were a lot of things that we didn't see. There were some spider webs here. Did you know that? When we were in darkness, we don't see anything. Okay? When we brighten up the displays, there were so much stains here. I mean, still there is. We shampooed this area, and there were a lot of, oh man, it's disgusting. Don't bring any food here, please. And don't throw up, please, in the sanctuary. There are so much stain. When there is light, it reveals you. It reveals. Without the light, you think you're so good. I'm good. I'm clean. I'm better than those people. But when the light shines, the real thing exposes. You know, people, unless you are exposed, you will never seek help. You will never seek help. You will die in your sin. You will die in your condemnation unless it is revealed. And the truth, Jesus is the light. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Okay? So, he was the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, and he was in the world. And the world was not made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Okay, do you remember that? Knowing and loving. God foreknew you. God loved you. But these people were created by this master, owner, and the creator, but they did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. And my question to you is, have you received him? Have you married him? Is he the most significant reality of your life? Ultimate, absolute, true reality. That's what it means to believe, people. Okay? And just a few verses, I'm done. Verse 12, to all who did receive him. What does that mean? Okay? It means those who believe in his name. Those believe in the name of the Word of God, not just what's written here on the page of the Bibles, but the person of God, what He has revealed through His witness, glory, His coming, His death, and His historical resurrection. You know, resurrection is bodily and historical. Now we have enough evidence. Not that we needed evidence, but Jesus bodily resurrected. So how are you going to handle that? If He is the Word of God, pre-existent, co-existent, self-existent God, in Him was life, before anything was created, and He came, He died, and He was raised, and He could not stay dead because God, who is eternal, cannot keep Him dead because He's sinless. Sin has atoned for, paid for. So God has to raise Him. So those who put their faith in Him, we have that validation that our sin has been atoned by His resurrection. How are you going to handle that, right? Those who believe in His name, He has given the right to become the children of God. Okay? Born of God. Okay? He uses triple negative to clarify Himself, which is very, very similar to Romans. Who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Triple negative, okay? Not of the blood, not your family line. Okay, I'm a child of David. Oh, you know, my father is a pastor. My father is a missionary. My mom prays all the time. That's not going to save you. Okay? It's not the bloodline. It's not the flesh. It's not your human effort. It's not your try. It's not your good things. It's not your studies. It's not Nicodemus. It's nothing. No flesh. Romans 3:20. No man will be justified by his own works. Okay? And thirdly, will of man. In other words, will of the fathers. Human desire. Okay? So, John is making very clear, triple negative. Not of the blood, not of the flesh, not of the man, but of God. Only by grace, people. That's why you have chance and I have chance. That's why we all have an equal chance. Because God graced you. Isn't that amazing? Nicodemus and woman at the well, same thing in the sight of God. An individual in need of a Savior who needs life. John's gospel is it's profound. At the same time, there is a such an interesting narrative. Such interesting narratives. And I invite you, people, do not lose this period of your life. We will be studying on Fridays and Sundays and preaching through on Sundays. Even Sunday school, preaching through the Gospel of John. Is that true? Okay. He prepares too much for the children. And youth group, young adult, and I really, really ask of you, take this time. What could be more urgent than this? If you meet Him, perhaps you'll know where you come from, where you're heading toward to, what your life is about, and what is right and wrong. The origin of life, destiny of life, purpose of life, and the morality of life. Without it, you just live like amoeba. You don't think, you just live. That's what the scripture is telling you, people. So I invite you. Okay, really invite you. But of God. Okay? Not over human blood, human will, and human husband, but of God. That is those who received Christ and believed on His name are born of God, and they are the born again. Okay? Can I just ask you, you could answer to yourself. Okay? To yourself. Are you born of God? Are you born of God? Is God your Father, great, ultimate, true reality of all? He's inviting you. He's inviting you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, whoever put his trust in him shall not perish. Meaning, if you don't, you will perish. Look at me, please. If you don't, you will perish. But whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. People, he loves you. That's why he came, so that you may believe. Not you go to church and feel a little better. Oh, I'm going to get that job. Okay. I think I'm going to be lucky. Not like that. Not like that. Not like if I try hard and be in church, I think I'd do well in this world. Maybe I'll marry her. Okay? Not like that. Read John's gospel. This is magnificent truth, people. Okay? It's the entry path to this magnificent gospel of John. And I just pray that some of you would really be enticed and really have a true appetite to know him and to put your faith in him and believe in him. Okay? Let's pray.